All right, well, good evening, everybody. We're live from El Paso. We're actually live from the library down on Pebble Hills today. Believe it or not, we're actually not at a restaurant for a change, which is shocking considering the size of the two of the three guys in this room. So, actually, I'm a little offended and a little upset that you guys went to go eat without me. But hey, that's cool. That's cool. I guess I'll just go home and make myself a quesadilla with chorizo or something or the other. But that's fine. Anyway, so we're here again, Josh, with our executive director from Ranch on the Rock and Arbor Recovery Center out at Santa Blanca. Oh my God, Sierra Blanca.
Yeah,
Santa Sierra. You know, it's all the same thing. But hey, this is why it's called the live podcast, because we get to make mistakes. Anyway, so on that note, hey Josh, why don't you start it off, opening us up with a quick prayer, and let's get this thing rolling.
All right, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we just want to thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have this opportunity to walk in freedom. For you have broken the chains that bind us to sin and death, Heavenly Father. For you have freed us from the curse of the law, which anoints every single thing that we do in your name. So we thank you that your voice will be heard through this live podcast, Heavenly Father, as we walk as living testimonies to who you are and what you have done in all of our lives, Lord God. So at this moment, we just let go, Heavenly Father. Nothing else matters but you, Lord God. Nothing else matters but the truth. We all have our own opinions, but they just what they are. They are just what they are, Lord God. So we want to praise you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Awesome. Amen. Okay, so before we get started, I guess one of the things we did is we kind of jumped into everything last week, and we really didn't get to a lot of the nitty-gritty and stuff, and it's really an interesting story on how everybody that's working together on this Ranch on the Rock concept is coming together. So, first of all, let's again remind everybody exactly what Ranch on the Rock Recovery Center is. So, Josh, if you would just, you know, not necessarily walk us through the history, but just kind of give us a public address announcement of what we offer out at the ranch.
Well, what we offer out at Ranch on the Rock is definitely a place of character change. It is a place to have an encounter with God and to learn about who God really is, you know, because that's one of the biggest problems that we all have as human beings is we think the Lord is someone that he's not, you know. I mean, so in saying that, basically what we offer is we just offer a place to become a new person.
Right, so, you know, it's a recovery center, so obviously we are, I guess, what we are open to and targeting, we're open to people who have substance abuse problems, who are looking for that second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth chance in life. And unfortunately, you know, there's an old saying that, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you fail, but, you know, you have to keep trying and getting up every time you fail. If you fail 8 times, you get up a 9th and a 10th and stuff. And which is going to lead us into our topic about preconceived notions, as we were talking about last time, because, you know, I'm the angry guy on this podcast. You know, I'm, and eventually we'll get to my story as to why I'm so angry and why I look at things, and I actually look at you and I come out here and I think that I really don't have a reason to be angry, but I still am, which is kind of funny. But, you know, one of the things I guess we should talk about is how I got involved. You know, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Jesus Campa, and I'm one of the direct board members for Ranch on the Rock. And I will tell you that when I first heard of Ranch on the Rock, it kind of baffled me, and I was a little bit mind blown, and I am kind of skeptical, and I didn't really believe in what you guys were doing out there till I actually went out there and saw what was going on. So for the layperson, you know, Ranch on the Rock is a recovery center where people who are suffering from drug ailments or substance abuse issues, they can go to the Ranch on the Rock. It there is no charge, correct?
No charge whatsoever.
There is no charge for the Ranch on the Rock. And it's based off of a faith-based program that was designed by the founder, and it has been improved on and increased as time has gone by. And it's a faith-based program with the 12-step program that requires you to be there for at least a year.
Yeah, 6 months to a year, but we definitely recommend the year because, you know, I have seen people leave before the year, and those people who make a commitment to only 6 months, basically, the odds aren't in their, they're not in their favor, basically.
Right. So once they're there, you go, but the cool thing is that this is not, it's funny because this program works, because we've seen it work, yet we're not funded by the government. We're not state funded. We're not federally funded. We're not, you know, it's kind of strange how it is funded. So people, you know, we can't even get, and this is why I'm talking about the preconceived notions and the anger and stuff like that, is that we have a program that works, but yet it's hard to get people to support it because it is a outside the box type of situation. You know, it's not your regular cookie cutter program. You know, it's exactly. It's totally different, and that's why it works. And we've proven that it works because we have success stories.
Yes.
We've got tangibles to show how it works. But you know, insurance companies won't allow people to use their insurance at our facility because we're not cookie cutter, and we aren't going to do things the way we're told, or the way that it has supposedly worked, when we know that all other recovery centers, and not all of them, I'm just saying, that historically recovery centers, you know, they fail.
Yeah.
And for us to be totally self-sufficient, self-supported by the community that we're in is shocking, you know. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I am a retired law enforcement officer. I spent most of my time dealing with you people with substance abuse problems, being the guy who puts you behind bars, and always hearing the story of, yeah, yeah, I'm going to rehab, yeah, yeah, I'm going to find God, yeah, yeah. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, God has a terrible sense of direction because he sure gets lost a lot, because that's all I ever hear is, I found God. It's like, wow, you know, I wish I could find money the way you all find God.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you step back and look at the totality of the circumstances and actually look at what is being said, is that a lot of us are actually saying it wrong, because we didn't find God. God found us. He just gave us the opportunity or the crutch that we needed, or our advice that we needed to actually navigate towards him and have him correct our ways. Now, being in law enforcement, I'm a skeptic. I don't trust anything. I don't believe anything. So when I was asked to come out and take a look at the Ranch on the Rock and get involved with it, I was like, are you insane? I don't want to do this. And it wasn't until the day that I went out there and I saw the tangibles and saw what you guys were doing that I realized that, holy smokes, you guys are onto something. And that's when I said I had to be involved. I had to get involved. And we got to make the Ranch on the Rock our priority. So what I want you to do is actually, if you'll tell us a little bit about how we are funded, because it's actually a very unique way, and it's actually a way that a lot of people would actually stop. Like here, we did something like that in El Paso. A lot of people would be like, are you crazy? I'm not letting them in my house. I'm not letting them in my front yard. I'm not letting them in my car. I'm not letting them take my grandma to the doctor. What's wrong with you? But that's what shocks me. You know, as I mentioned earlier, my last duty station was the Twilight Zone. And I left that Twilight Zone and I came back to El Paso, and then I entered a different Twilight Zone, which I didn't know there was different Twilight Zones. I guess there's different dimensions. And we're not talking the satanic dimensions. We're just talking about how wacky people are and how supportive people at Cerro Blanco are. So why don't you kind of explain to us, as a matter of fact, I'm being told by the... Sorry, but I'm just not politically correct. I'm being told by the other fat guy that we need to take a break really quick here. So I guess we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Josh telling us exactly how we're funded. Sweet. Doodles. Meh. By the way, that was our pet goat. We do have a farm, so we carry our pet goat everywhere. We got to come up with a name for our goat. So if our listeners are out there listening, you need to listen to the end, because there's always a message from our pet goat, but we just got to name him. So anyway, I digress. I'm sorry. Let's go back to what I was saying. And Josh, why don't you tell us and explain to us how it is that Ranch on the Rock is self-sufficient and totally funded without any state funds?
Well, Ranch on the Rock is really supported by the community, just in and of itself, basically, and I'll explain how we do it. We will go out there, we will do landscaping jobs, construction, we can do anything, you know, basically that they ask of us. We have guys with different skill sets there. You know, we have men who have experience in drywall, experience in plumbing, and heck, if somebody just needs their house cleaned and they can't get around very well, that's what we're there for. And they give us donations based on what we do, you know, and that's exactly how the ranch is supported. We are also supported by the family members of ex-clients that we've had who have gone through the program and are now successful. We have men who graduated the program that are now functioning members of society that donate to us as well.
Awesome. So, like, was there any skepticism when you all first started? Because, I mean, it's like saying how, I mean, I'm you know, this program is designed to just, we're going to just talk about it the way it is. I mean, you know, and how we've overcome those issues. So, like, how is it how did you overcome, or did you have any incidences that you had to overcome where people were like, are you crazy? I'm not letting in this alcoholic or this druggie into my house to do it. Did you have any of those issues, or was everybody just opening their door and saying, go?
You know, I wasn't there during this time, but I did hear stories that they thought it was a halfway house, a transitional house for men getting out of prison. They thought that some of these men were actually trustees. We had all different kinds of encounters, you know, but really, once these people begin to know us as human beings, rather than just the stereotype or the stigma behind being a dope fiend and a criminal, you know, they begin to see us for who we really were. You know, we were no different than their sons, than their uncles, than their brothers, you know, than their fathers. We were no different than any of these people, and they started to see that. They saw the fact that we were just men who made some really bad decisions and struggled in life.
So basically, what we're saying here is substance abuse, alcohol abuse, anything like this, it knows no colors, right?
No, none at all. You know, drug addiction and alcoholism is an equal opportunity employer. It doesn't care about your background. It doesn't care what color your skin is. It doesn't care what language you speak. It's going to get a hold of you.
So let's talk about these preconceived notions. So why is it that we as mankind, we have these preconceived notions or these dislikes, or we will discriminate against people for their skin color, for the fact that they may be women, for the fact that maybe they've been in prison. We as mankind, you know, which we always say that we were created in the eyes of the Lord, you know, right, in His image. So, which means we should all be equal, right?
Sure.
But yet, you know, and we don't want to turn this into a political thing, but, you know, we look at the current political trend, you know, I mean, you know, racism all of a sudden is making an upswing, and you can blame both sides of the, you know, you can't say this is a Democrat or a Republican thing, because everybody's to blame, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, but yet, substance abuse and drug abuse, it doesn't discriminate, it'll take anybody.
Exactly, and you know, God is the same way, and so is Ranch on the Rock. We don't care where you're coming from. If you're struggling and you want help, we're there for you. You know, but anyway, these preconceived notions, first of all, I'll explain this, that these preconceived notions are built up by each other, by experiences with other human beings. And let me explain that. Basically, let's go to the authority figures. Well, you have the judicial system, the government, the law. Well, we know how the law operates. You mess up a couple of times and you're going to prison. You get the same case three times, it becomes a felony, even if it's a misdemeanor. So we see how the authority in the natural operates, therefore we assume that our authority in the spiritual operates the same way when He doesn't. It's completely different. You know, our God is the God of another chance. You see, because when you decide to come to Christ and really surrender, well, God doesn't remember what you did. He's not worried about that. God does not judge us by what He has seen. He does not judge us by our past. He sees us for our potential. You know, and that's, and we don't judge each other based on our potential. We judge each other on based on what we see. And now we can get deeper into other stuff, you know, but I'll tell you this. Tribalism is human nature in its most primal form. We tend to go to what is similar. You know, it's that old saying, well, it's better, you know, we go to the evil we know than the evil we don't know when we're assuming someone else is evil.
And that's true. I mean, I come from a political background. You know, I worked for a sheriff's office. It was very political. I was chief of police. It's very political. And, you know, every time it was election time or appointment time or something like that, you'd always say that. Well, better the devil we know than the devil we don't know, you know. And you get these preconceived notions. And you know, for instance, for me, you know, when you see these preconceived notions, and that's funny because people don't seem to understand what the word preconceived means. And I don't know, how would you explain what preconceived means?
Well, let me explain it from this angle here. Preconceived, well, these notions, these thoughts, these ideas, most of all, these emotions stem from previous encounters with whoever they may be. It could be a previous conversation that you had. It can be an influence that you know that you were under while you were a child. It could be anything that leads you to believe a certain thing and look at things a certain way. And God is there to break all of these things, you know, because I had a lot of them myself. I'll give you an example. I was very, very angry at God, you know, and I blamed my father. I was very, very angry at my father when I realized that it was all my fault. My father did the best that he knew to do. And you know what? So what I did was I took that physical authority in my life and I projected that towards God. Because that was the same God that my father followed, therefore he must be the same way. That was my preconceived notion. And, you know, and it goes even deeper than that, because I believe everything happens for a reason. And tell you the truth, I think there are more people that see what's going on and they're purposely pushing us in this direction. Because there's an ultimate goal in mind. You know, that's what frustrates me so much about politics. That's why I kind of shy away from a little bit, because I get kind of angry, because I just see us going the same direction no matter who's doing what or who's saying what. Because these people, what they do is they go out there and they perpetuate an issue without having basically an answer to it. They don't come to the table they don't come with a solution. They come at you with a problem. When you perpetuate a problem, it makes it bigger.
Okay, so you know, I was having this conversation earlier with this friend of mine, and I guess it's okay to say this because he is a friend of mine, and anybody that knows me knows that, you know, I don't see colors. I don't believe in racism. I wasn't brought up that way. Matter of fact, one of the reasons I'm so angry is because of the way I was treated, because of these preconceived notions that people had about me when I arrived to my last duty station. You know, just because I was Hispanic, everybody assumed I was a drug dealer. Or a drug lord. Actually, it was kind of cool because they at least upgraded me. I wasn't even the drug dealer. I was a drug cartel boss. You know, I was given a nickname. I was told that it was said that I was coming to this primarily, you know, white Caucasian area to bring in the drug influence of the cartel and the other Mexicans and this and that. And they said, well, if he's not really a good drug cartel guy, at least he probably knows how to do some landscaping or something, you know. So it was these preconceived notions that I was like, okay, you know, I got there and I was called a beaner and a spig, and I'm like, really, God's green earth talks like this, you know. And to talk about, you know, the African Americans, the blacks, you know, they would describe them using the N-word, you know. I was like, oh my God, like, who throws around this N-word? But then, you know, I would see us Hispanics that were there, you know, the majority of them were there illegally. You know, they were a lot of migrant workers, and you know, the African Americans that were there, they were poor, they were undereducated, their employment opportunities were low. But instead of us trying to do something about it, we spent all this time being angry at what we called the establishment, the white folks. But in reality, it's like, okay, so you're mad at these white people, but hold on a second. We're in 2018. How can you be mad at the individuals that are there in 2018? Because these are all preconceived notions that they inherited mm-hmm. from their parents, who inherited it from their parents, who inherited it from their parents. You know, and the African Americans that are there, they're not slaves today. Mm-hmm. You know, this comes again from preconceived notions that they have. You know, us as Hispanics, I made this comment today. It was kind of viewed as they're looking at me, well, you've never been a slave, and I'm like, no, I understand that. I'm not equating it to be the same. What I'm saying is that us as Hispanics, as Mexican nationals and stuff, we're kind of the new modern slave, because we're the ones picking the cotton, picking the watermelons, and getting paid 25 cents, you know, where the sweatshops and this and that. So these are all preconceived notions, and everybody's pointing their finger at everybody, but nobody's doing anything to change it. And this falls on the African American, the Hispanic, the Caucasian, it falls on everybody. You know, yet nobody listens. Everybody's too busy pointing fingers at each other. You know, you did. And for instance, one of the things that speaks volumes is the actions that you guys take at the ranch. Mm-hmm. Because you guys have stood up and said, hey, hold on a second. You have these preconceived notions because mm-hmm. you might have had an issue with us at one time, because as you have described, you were takers all the time. But when you go to the ranch, you have people that are white, mm-hmm. Hispanic, mm-hmm. black, mm-hmm. and different other nationalities or different ethnic groups and stuff like that. But you all have one thing in common, some kind of substance abuse. Yeah. But yet you've come together mm-hmm. to work out your problems. Yeah. So you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
This is totally backwards, because here you've got people who suffer from substance abuse coming together to work out their issues, but yet you can't get people who don't have any issues, you know, but they have these issues, you know, of color and race, and we can't even come together to the table and try to work it out. So what does that say about this, our society today?
Yes, well, let me explain this. You hear this a lot. You know, they want to, let me give you an example. They want to blame the fact that we own firearms on all of these shootings when they don't see the bigger picture. You know, all of these shootings are happening because of the decay of our society, because we're not in touch with God anymore. If we even were in the beginning, I don't know. I'm kind of skeptical about that myself. I know it says, you know, in our Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. I know on the money it says, in God we trust. You know, maybe some of them were legitimately Christians and really believed and had faith, but I'm not the one to judge. Anyway, you know, with the lack of God, well, what comes up? Self. Selfishness and self-centeredness. And at that point, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to try to identify yourself with something, and you're going to want to try to belong to something. And that's where a lot of this tribalism starts to take place. But more than that, you know, that's when people get wrapped up in their twisted perception. They believe that what they see is real just because they see it. When they don't understand that it goes so much deeper than what is right in front of your face. You know, there at the ranch, this is why God is so great. Because we come together, you know, as a group of men who are no longer worried about what we used to be worried about, who are no longer concerned about what we used to be concerned about. There are two things we're focusing on. That is our relationship with Jesus, and that is our recovery. At that point, there is no room to point out, hey, well, I'm white and you're black. Or, hey, you know what, man? This guy likes guys. I like women. So you know what? He doesn't need to be around me. We don't have time to be worrying about that. You know, we don't, because who are we to judge?
Those are good points. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And just so you guys will know, I'm even angrier now, because I'm hungry. Yes, 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 this is all about food, guys. Sorry. So now that we know what Ranch on the Rock is, Recovery Center, let's talk a little bit about what the program is all about. I mean, it's what are the fundamental basis? So when a client first arrives at Ranch on the Rock, what is the process that we go through?
Well, first of all, somebody will call us and let us know that they're interested. Of course, we'll ask them what their DOC is. That's their drug of choice. And we really screen them. There are certain things that we're looking for them to say. You know, first of all, we ask, well, what did you lose in your addiction? And, you know, we basically ask them what they still have. And that will really let us know their level of willingness, for the most part. We also go into any legal issues that they might have, whatever they may be, their situation with their families. Do they have kids? You know, are they estranged from their families? You know, just some pretty basic questions so that we can see what they've really experienced. And you can, of course, tell by the desperation in someone's voice that they've really had enough, or at least we hope that lasts, you know, because it's really the luck of the draw. It's very easy to forget where you come from, lose your gratitude within a month or two and decide that you've got it licked, decide that you've got this. You know, those are the famous words of men who leave the program early and end up relapsing is, I've got this and I'll be okay. And the truth is they don't have it and they're not going to be okay. They're going to go back out there and do the same old thing all over again, the definition of insanity. You know, and I'll also attest from, you know, personal experience, you know, if beating my head against the wall felt good, well, then I would probably be dead right now. So that's just the way it is. That's the mind of an addict. And you know, like I said, it's pretty tough to deal with. You know, this is a kind of ministry that very few people want to get involved with because of the difficulty, the heartbreak. You invest some time in a man and you actually care for the man. You have, you know, the man's best interest at heart. Yet he turns his back and says, that's not good enough. Really, he turns his back on God and says, well, you know, I know better than you. My plans are better than yours, and I don't want what you have for me. And that's a scary place to be. I've been there as well. So, you know, but Ranch on the Rock, in and of itself, it is a faith-based program, but it's also a 12-step program. You know, we sponsor men. We take them through their steps. I've been through the steps personally, you know, and it's a very simple program, yet it's not easy.
So is the program based on your traditional 12-step program? What makes our program different from all the other programs that are out there?
Well, what makes it different is we don't just talk about the Word of God and we don't just talk about recovery. You're not going to be sitting in a classroom all day, you know, reading the AA book from cover to cover. You earn your recovery by the sweat of your brow. Since we are a nonprofit organization, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. We go out, we volunteer for the community, and they go and give us donations based on what we do. Anything from construction to yard work, you know, heck, you know, even, you know, helping drive around an elderly person who can't drive. You know, very simple things that make a big impact on those, you know, who are really in need. And we're in need as well, you know. It's kind of a give right there. You know, our community, the community of Sierra Blanca, has supported us for years, you know. But we've also helped them as well.
So, you know, one of the interesting things that we're talking about today is, you know, we talked about what Ranch on the Rock does. You know, we talked a little bit about your background. You know, we haven't touched on what my background is, and I guess people will kind of think that that's kind of amusing once we get into that later on in the podcast at some later date. But you know, you talked about how you all help out the community, how you drive around the little old lady, you know, who might not be able to get from her doctor's appointment from here to there, or you help the community with construction projects or landscaping projects. How is it that, you know, for the people that are out there listening, you see, as you know, most people in today's society have lost touch with reality, I guess, have lost touch with their heart. When you think about it, people are not willing to give people a second chance, or a third chance, or a fourth chance, even though, you know, the Bible has clearly said, you know, you got to forgive your neighbor, you know, 7 times 70 times or something like that. I'm going off the cuff here. I'm not even sure if that's the way it's actually stated, but I know that you know, you got to turn the other cheek and all that good stuff. And but
You know, so when you're sitting here talking about a recovery drug center, a drug recovery center, dealing with addicts and dealing with, you know, offenders as far as, you know, criminal offenders and stuff like that who are coming off of alcohol or worse drugs, opiates or heroin, stuff like that. How is it that you all got the community to actually trust you? I mean, I've been out to the ranch many times. I've been honored to be one of the board of directors, and I've been out there, and I am in shock and awe of how the community supports you guys. That I'm sitting here going, what the heck? And let me tell you, you know, prior to coming back to El Paso, I was in a place that was very dark that I like to refer to as the Twilight Zone, because that place, like, really had no vision. And I'm sorry I'm going off the cuff here and I'm starting to sound like a little bitter individual, but I come back to El Paso and I've got this bitterness in me, and I do. And then I am introduced to you all, and I start partaking in the ranch and the things that you're doing, or as some people might say, you drinking the Kool-Aid. And I go out there, and all of a sudden I'm sitting here going, okay, so I came from the Twilight Zone and I entered another Twilight Zone, but this Twilight Zone is a little bit different, because the community there is actually accepting you guys, is supporting you guys, is giving you a second, giving you a third chance. How is it that you guys managed to build such a working relationship with a community where in most parts would have actually shunned you guys away?
Yes, and I'm very glad that you asked that question, because a lot of times I ask myself that question. But really, it did take time. There was some resistance in the beginning, I've been told. Of course, I wasn't there, but I know it did take some time. You know, a bunch of grown men, you know, dope fiends, criminals, you know, ex-cons, you know, covered in tattoos, you know, gang members. Helping these men is very unattractive. Now, you know, giving money to widows and orphans, well, that's very attractive, but not a bunch of grown men who should have been doing the right thing anyway. You know, but you're exactly right, because this society has lost touch, and I'll tell you why. Because this society has become so selfish, so self-centered, you know, and their perception is distorted, it's twisted. If it doesn't benefit them in any way, shape, or form, they shun it, you see. But I know that the people in that community, they saw that these men, they weren't the drugs that they put in their bodies. They weren't the gangs that they once belonged to. They weren't the man sitting behind the bars, you know, sharpening a blade, getting ready for a riot. These men aren't those people. What they saw was normal human beings, men who had families, men who cared, you know, who cared for their families and you know, that were just stuck in a bad situation, who made some bad choices, who got stuck in the cycle. You know, you basically get high because you feel bad, yet you feel bad because you're getting high. The disease of addiction is known as a feelings disease. And it's kind of funny because all of society has it. They make most of their decisions based on their emotions, which will always lead to the wrong choice. You know, it talks about that in Proverbs. It mentions that a fool inherits the wind, because the wind blows in all directions, it always changes. Therefore, you see people unsatisfied, you know, reaching for material possessions to fill that void that it will never fill. You have people living miserably, paycheck to paycheck, because they believe that that's all that life has for them. And that's not true at all. You know, the only benefit these people have is that they don't put needles in their arms and pipes in their mouths, you know.
Yeah, that's a very interesting way of looking at it. I mean, I kind of feel the same way about, you know, what you're saying. Is, like I said, I was just very starstruck. You know, a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people who might be listening to us who have no idea where the heck Cerro Blanco is. For God's sakes, a lot of people don't even know where El Paso, Texas is. I remember back in the early 90s, while I was working where I used to work, I got a phone call and somebody asked me a question, and I said, you know what, well, let me check the database on the computer. And the person on the phone said, on the computer? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, this is El Paso, Texas, right? I said, yeah, absolutely. And they said, you guys have computers out there? Aren't you guys still riding on horses and stuff? And I was like, oh my God. So a lot of people might not know where El Paso is, and A lot of people definitely don't know what Sierra Blanca is, but Sierra Blanca is, it's got its own little fame, and it's been in the headline news on more than one occasion, and usually, or unfortunately, it's been in the news for not such great things. But I think there was a great victory at one point there that, you know, kept nuclear waste from coming over into this neck of the woods. And depends on who you ask. If you ask all the people that lost money on that one, they probably think it's the worst idea. But us as humans, I guess it was a great thing for us. So, you know, it's been great learning about what Ranch on the Rock is, learning about what weapons of testimony are. And like I said, you know, it's funny as I'm hearing you talk, and at the same time I'm listening to all this great Mexican music in the background, and it's just like the most weird. It's like the weirdest thing ever. But I think this is what's going to make our podcast so much interesting. So interesting is the fact that, you know, we're going to come to people from unconventional ways, because a lot of times I hear people say things like, you know what, I found God. I found God. And, you know, my response to that is that, that you know, God, for being almighty and all-knowing, he really gets lost a lot. And in reality, I've come to learn that God doesn't really get lost. It's we or the sheep that get lost. And it's actually the reason God lets us get lost is so that he can come out and find us. So I figure that, you know, we're in this restaurant and there's people looking at us like we're oddballs, going, what on earth are these guys talking about? Drugs and recovery and God in a public place? And you never know that if we could change one of these people's lives today spiritually, it would be awesome. And I don't know about you, but I kind of like this. I think that maybe every Monday we should do our podcast from a different restaurant. Of course, we just cannot let our creative guy decide where we're going to go, because then we got to go to all these foofy restaurants.
Yeah.
That are way, way beyond our budget. I think Gallegos today was out of our budget. But no, actually, the food was fantastic, and it's a great place to come and do. I mean, Josh, why don't you tell us about your love for Gallegos, because you can eat here just like every day.
Oh, I definitely could. You know, I was born and raised in here in El Paso, Texas, and you know, Gallegos is definitely one of my favorite places to come and eat. You know, I could eat Mexican food every day. You know, definitely, I can't complain.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, me, you know, for if you can't tell, you know, I am a Mexican, and you're white. And,
yes.
You know, with a name like Joshua Hart, and your host Jesus Campa, I guess. It's kind of funny because, you know, I was born on Mexican food, and sometimes I'm like, Jesus Christ, can we eat anything other than beans and rice for a change? You know, how about like a hot dog or a hamburger or something white, you know?
Yeah, and you see, it's funny because I didn't get this food at home. You know, like I was saying earlier, man, I'm going to marry a chubby Mexican woman that knows how to cook.
Well, there you go. For all you, we're at Gallegos. Unfortunately, this probably won't air for another few days, but I'm sure that next Monday we'll probably be here again. So if you're a good-looking, short, chubby Hispanic female that can cook, Josh is a very good-looking white guy that's looking for a wife. So you can come on down here at Gallegos, and you know, and actually you don't even have to learn how to cook. Just come and shop at Gallegos before he gets home, and he's good to go. So you know, one of the things is that people, you know, when they start talking about God and spiritual and Lord and all this, they get really. You know, real serious and real uptight about God. You know, it's like one of those things that you never talk about it, and it is religion and politics and stuff like that, because, you know, it just totally, it causes a lot of problems. You know, it's kind of like, and I'm sorry, I digress here. I'm going to have to go back to the whole Mexican food thing, because I remember that on Christmas, when we would get together for Christmas, we would set up a menu of what we were going to make. And, you know, usually it involved enchiladas, frijoles, arroz, horchata. And I was like, okay, so how is that any different from last Friday's meal? Because this is, you know. Anyway, but going back to what I was saying is, you know, the politics and religion is something that's usually considered to be taboo for a lot of people. One of the things that I've noticed is that, you know, when I came up and became part of Ranch on the Rock as one of the board members and as your spokesperson, it's been really exciting to actually get to hear a lot of you, a lot of the things that you say and learn from you guys, because, you know, just in case you haven't been able to tell, I'm a little bitter and angry sometimes. I'm going to be the angry Mexican that comes out here a lot, because, you know, I do have issues with my God. And I I may not have had a drug addiction or anything like that, but as I told you in the past, you know, I have, and it's funny that you bring me to a buffet, because knowing that one of my addictions is food, I can't stop eating, and that probably explains why I'm like 20 pounds overweight. So, you know, it helps. And the reason I'm laughing is because our creative guy's being funny. You'll get to meet him at some point, and then I'll get to make fun of him. But, so, you know, what I'm saying is that, you know, one of the things I've noticed is that people are so uptight nowadays, especially when you talk to them about God and religion and, you know, politics. I mean, don't even get me started on the politics part, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners will get upset about what I have to say, or a lot of people might call in and be happy with what I have to say, but we'll keep politics out of this one. So, you know, Josh, it's been great. We're here at Gallegos. We know what ranch on the, rock on the, oh my God. Help me out here, Josh.
Ranch on the Rock.
Thank you. Ranch on the Rock is all about. And you know, we know why we're being called Weapon of Testimony. Like I said, I think the pretty thing is that we've got this young waitress wondering why we're still sitting here and not eating, and we should probably get out of here. So I think that maybe if we could just wrap it up for tonight. This is our first podcast, in case you're just joining us. So we're still learning the ropes, and this one might come out a little rough. But hey, you know what? Just like God, you know, he did a grassroots effort when he tried to change the world. And for this day, he's still paying the price for trying to change this world. So I guess maybe we'll keep paying the price for having a rough podcast. I think we can live with that. So in closing, Josh, why don't you just close us out with a quick commercial on Ranch on the Rocks. Do we have a phone number if anybody is listening to us that can get a hold of us and tell us how they can, you know, if somebody out there has a loved one that is in need of our services, you know, we're totally free. We're not, you know, we don't charge. I think we're, we were almost at capacity the other day. I don't know where we're at right now. But, you know, if we could share a phone number with our listening audience, which at this point probably entitles maybe two or three people, but the word of mouth will get us spread around. So if you do that for me, Josh, I appreciate it.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Well, you know, my number is 915-204-1978, and I'm Joshua Hart. I'm the executive director, and now I will also give you our director's number, who is Justin Johnson. His number is 915-783-7361. Now you can call either one of us, you know, and we will be happy to do an intake with anybody who's interested, or any family member who may have someone who's struggling, you know. I mean, that's really why we're here, you know. And definitely the next podcast, I'll give you a little bit of my own background, a little bit more, and I'll answer some of these questions that you have, because really God he's not an obvious God. He's in the small things, you see. And the reason why, you know, people get so uptight and offended is because of preconceived notions that they've been struggling with their whole life.
You know, Josh, it's funny. You just used a word that I love to use, preconceived notions. And it's funny because it's rare when you find a person that understands what preconceived notions actually means. Because, again, as you can tell, this is where I get on my platform and say, you know, the place that I came from, the place that I called No Vision, Texas, had no idea what preconceived notions actually meant. In closing, again, I'm your host, Jesus Campa. I'm joined by Executive Director Joshua Hart. And we just want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy day for to listen to us. If you are listening to us, and if you're not listening to us, well, shame on you. And I think God will probably strike you with lightning. No, I'm sure that's not going to happen. I'm sorry. That's just a joke. Just re-wishful thinking. But in closing, we'll see you all next Monday. Not sure what restaurant we'll be coming from, or maybe we won't be at a restaurant, because God knows that two of us at this table could stand to lose some weight. I don't know how this guy next to me over here eats as much as he does and doesn't gain any weight. But from that, I'll just have to say we'll see you next time. Hasta la vista. And Josh closes out with a quick prayer.
All right. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we just want to praise you and thank you, Heavenly Father, that a very powerful, sharp weapon has been developed inside of all of us, Lord God, for everybody who has had a real encounter with you has a testimony to share. Heavenly Father, a gift to give those who are struggling, those who don't understand, those who have a need, because Jesus was upon this earth for those who had a need. He came to heal the sick. He didn't come to heal those who are already well, because there are so many sick and lost people out there. I know, because I was one of them, God. So I just want to praise you and thank you for the love that you have for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We'll see you all next time.
That was awesome.